Octava 14, Day 5. Tell a story of an artist or group you have met, or play something by an artist you would love to meet. Well, although I have seen, witnessed, experienced quite a few groups, stars in my life. For example, I've seen The Who, The Move, Cream, and a few others in the 60s and early 70s when they would come and play basically at the Kinema in Dunfermline, Kinema Ballroom, Dunfermline, or the Wraith Ballroom in Kirkcaldy. Never did go through to the Barrowlands. We stayed well clear of Glasgow. But now I think about it, I'd love to have been and went and witnessed the kinds of acts that came to the Barrowlands. They got massive stars through there. Anyway, and I did actually watch Ginger Baker guest drum at a sort of a minor music fest here in our own town many, many years ago. I think he got lost and some spotted a set of drums in the Meadow Park. Decided to go in and give him a bash. He was brilliant. I can't even remember why he was here. But anyway, I've never actually met, as in had even the briefest of conversations with any stars. Just never been there, never done it. So that brings me to who or what I'd like to meet. And I would love to meet the great, the amazing, the fantastic Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits fame, of course. And they have always been big in my life, particularly Mark Knopfler, because of his ingenuity of composition and his unique playing, guitar playing. Just, oh my God. Anyway, I watched an interview on television a wee while ago, which part of which will be a piece of audio that will come along with this recording. And it was by the BBC, where he was asked, of course, the usual many, many questions about his career and life, etc., etc. But I'd love to actually just meet Mark Knopfler in person. I'd love to see his own guitar collection in person. I can't play the guitar, but I'd love to see it. I'd love to hear him strum or play a wee bit on each one of them. I'm not quite sure how many he's got now. I'd like to ask him my own questions, including stuff like the truth behind the lyrics of many of his songs, for example, Romeo and Juliet or Tunnel of Love, and a few others which were apparently, the lyrics were apparently based on his own love relationships, if you like. And if you listen to Romeo and Juliet, yeah, I can believe that's absolutely true. Others who know Dire Straits and Mark Knopfler more than I, here in audio, will probably know a wee bit more about that. I think it's Dean Reed, that Dean's really heavily into Dire Straits, Mark Knopfler. Yes, anyway. So I'd love to ask him how he created his own unique guitar sound and how he just makes it look so damn easy on stage. You know, he's never flamboyant or anything. He's just like, he never even really dresses up. he just gets up there and he can have his old jeans and baggy top and something on, a headband, and just like some kind of laid back dude just sauntering around the stage playing phenomenal music and looking as if he's a wee guy behind the garages with a fake guitar. That's what it looks like, and creates such an amazing sound. It's just incredible. So there you go. So the first part of the audio you'll hear is that section of the BBC interview, and the second will be a slice really of one of his most famous tracks. Well, that is with Dire Straits, of course, though he has created his own albums, which is brilliant. But because Dire Straits for me way back when, I remember buying the very first double album, Alchemy Live, which just blew me away. Still think it's the best stuff they ever made way back then. So it'll be a track from there. And it kind of showpieces his unique style and his unique sound. just how brilliant a guitarist he is, even though he doesn't look as if he's actually playing it. He looks like one of those dummies. I love Mark Knopfler and I love Dire Straits. I love the whole thing about them. If their sound is unique, it's fantastic. So there you go. That's who I would love to meet. Mark Knopfler. Maybe one day. Maybe. Maybe he'll come and see me. Maybe he'll hear this. I'll tag him and see if he'll come up and see me. Dream on, dream on.
I think I did most of my learning. The very beginning was on my electric guitar, learning to use a pick. The important thing with a pick is that it's really the biggest amplifier that there is. I've got one somewhere. So just a piece of plastic like that, and you hold it. You try and hold it in a comfortable way. I learned to the first chords, the E minor, and of course the natural thing is to go down, and you have to learn to go to get some speed, because it's much faster than fingers. Actually, a pick is louder and faster, and it makes for a better recording noise. Is you have to go up and down to alternate. So when you're playing, it's not all down, down like down, 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 down. It's so it's up and down all the time. But it didn't take me long before, you know, I was learning to finger pick. There's this backing friend's big sister in, and she wanted to sing in folk clubs and stuff, so. And I had a little pal who was one Everly brother, and I was the other one.
Do you remember your finger picking moment? The moment when you thought, yeah, this is for me?
It begins really with, you know, just. You can either use three fingers or two. I think I started using three. But the tricky bit. Was making that big step, leap forward into the clawhammer style, where the thumb is playing four beats to the bar, and not like one. Sometimes you'll just get somebody who's finger styling, but they're only doing a sort of a singing nun kind of a deal, where you've got a one thumb and then this. But what you've got to try to do is to get the thing going one, two, three, four, like that. And then once you get used to that pattern, for instance, on a C chord, where the root note is on the fifth string, there, you know, you try and get something going where it's. And then to get the fingers to kind of. Yeah, the chord just sits there. That's not doing anything. We know that's okay. You've got to battle to get that to sound right anyway, and not to be, you know, sounding like damping all other strings and so forth. You just get to, you have to practice the chords so that they sing. But then getting this thing was a breakthrough point, definitely for me, because once the fingers start finding a way around, suddenly, instead of, or it's just. It's starting to get a rhythm to it, you know, and you can then you learn to pick out tunes with the lick going on. I suppose I began with a basic folk pick, and then, you know, as I sort of got into the country blues players and more in my teens, you know, the Blind Blakes and the Blind Willie McTells and so on and so forth, you start to play more of a, like a piano style with a thumb. And so it's still based around that, you know, that, so you get. you know. So you're kind of starting to play like a little bit of a ragtime. You know. Thumb sort of playing those, like, it's sort of like piano licks, and then I just sort of started to develop playing rhythms, where my fingers are coming down onto they're breaking the rules, if you like, coming down onto the lower strings, and the thumbs coming up onto the top strings, and this is a guitar teacher's nightmare because I'm not really doing it the way it's supposed to be done.
So no one taught you?
Not really. I started with a basic little chord book, I think it was a Shadows guitar tutor book that I don't even know whether it had much to do with them. I'm not sure, but it taught you about being the pick going up and down. It had a couple of little chord diagrams of the fingers, and then you had to work out, well, this is your first finger and this is your second, and that's the first string and this is the second. And story of my life. You know, you start somewhere and end up somewhere else.
And how long did it take you? It was painstaking,
then. Well, yeah, I think it is. It's falling asleep playing and wanting to do it. You've got to really want to do it. Yeah, you have to really want to be able to play.
Down the telegraph road,